oftentimes when I'm out at a restaurant and I'm wearing my collar, it'll provoke some interesting conversations. So a couple years ago, I remember a man came up to me in a restaurant and saw that I was a priest, and apparently he was a Catholic and he was in a Bible study, and he said, "Father, I'm in this men's Bible study, and we've been given to reflect on this question for our next meeting, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this." And he said, "What makes Good Friday good?" And I said, "Good question." We did talk about it for a bit. What makes Good Friday good? At face value, it doesn't seem like the most fitting title, given what happened on Good Friday. It was the day that the shepherd was struck and the sheep scattered. It was the day that Christ suffered pain and suffering, death and destruction by us sinners. Why is this day of all days given the title Good Friday? It would seem to be a more fitting title for Easter Sunday. It's not merely, though, the fact that Christ suffered death and pain and destruction that makes this a good day. Although, you know, any soldier who courageously gives his life in battle, that loss of life redounds to his merit. And we would say that soldier died a glorious death, made a glorious sacrifice. Right? But God the Father is not somehow pleased or satisfied because his only son is being tortured and murdered by evil men. You would think that the opposite would be the case. You would think that, you know, we should wonder, why wouldn't his anger be inflamed all the more seeing this? But on the contrary, at the core of Jesus' sacrifice, the reason, what makes it pleasing to the Father, the reason it's a fitting, pleasing, perfect sacrifice, and why the Father receives it and why he exalts him, is because of Jesus' humble, obedient heart. The fact that Jesus' heart is turned completely to the Father. "Not my will," he says, "but your will be done. Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit." It's precisely Jesus' humble obedience, his entire life, but culminating in this sacrifice on the cross, becoming the Paschal Lamb for us, who takes away the sins of the world. It's precisely his total confidence in God, in his Father, in his love, and his perfect loving surrender to the Father that transforms this otherwise brutal execution into a sacrifice of glory that wins our salvation. So that's one reason we can say this is Good Friday. But why else do we call this day Good Friday? Let's go back to the beginning for a second. In the beginning, as the book of Genesis says, Adam and Eve were exiled from the garden of paradise as a result of their sin. They've been given paradise. They've been given everything, access to everything in the garden. Every plant, every animal was theirs. They were rulers over the Garden of Eden. But they were driven out, and access to the Tree of Life and the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil was barred by an angel with a flaming sword. But through Christ's victory, God promises humanity, as the book of Revelation says, the right to eat from the tree of life that is in the garden of God. So the tree of death becomes, for us, the tree of life. Salvation history, you could say, is kind of punctuated by trees. St. Theodore the Studite was writing in the 9th century, and he puts it very poetically. Listen to what he says about this tree. Quote, "How precious the gift of the cross, how splendid to contemplate. Yep. In the cross there is no mingling of good and evil, as in the tree of paradise. It is wholly beautiful to behold and good to taste. The fruit of this tree is not death, but life. Not darkness, but light. This tree does not cast us out of paradise, but opens the way for our return. This was the tree upon which the Lord, like a brave warrior wounded in his hands, feet, and side, healed the wounds of sin that the evil serpent had inflicted on our nature. A tree once caused our death, but now a tree brings life. Once deceived by a tree, we now have repelled the cunning serpent by a tree. What an astonishing transformation." End quote. What an astonishing transformation indeed. And it's precisely why the church has us venerate and adore the cross on this day. And this fruit of the tree of life, the cross that St. Theodore talks about, this fruit that nourishes us and gives us life and light, like he says, are the sacraments, which also come from this tree. They come from Christ's open side on the cross. The blood and the water that pour forth from his side are symbols of baptism and the Eucharist. And thus the church herself is born from the side of Christ. St. John Chrysostom will say, quote, "Since the symbols of baptism and the Eucharist flowed from his side, it was from his side that Christ fashioned the church, as he had fashioned Eve from the side of Adam. As God then took a rib from Adam's side to fashion a woman, so Christ has given us blood and water from his side to fashion the church." And so we can also say this Good Friday is good because it's the place where a marriage takes place. A wedding takes place on Calvary between Christ and his church. And it's from this new marriage that we are given life, new life in us. The church becomes our mother, and her womb is the baptismal font, where we're reborn and given supernatural life. And her milk is the Eucharist, which strengthens us. There's much more that could be said about why Good Friday is good. But I'll end with just one more quote, very short quote, but a very profound one. Perhaps the most beautiful one I've found on the subject of Good Friday. And it comes from the great Saint Augustine of Hippo. Jesus, St. Augustine says, quote, effected a wonderful exchange with us through mutual sharing. We gave him the power to die. He will give us the power to live.